He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for October 3rd, 2023. 10-3-2-3. I hope your week is off to a great start. I hope you had a terrific weekend. You know that occasionally I start this podcast by saying, welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games. Which, of course, is the very first song, right? Song one, side one, from the 1987 Guns N' Roses record, Appetite for Destruction. 87, 88, maybe, somewhere around there. Anyway, the reason I mentioned, welcome to the jungle, we've got fun and games. You can taste the bright lights, but you won't get there for free in the jungle. Guns N' Roses was in San Diego last night, and my house is close enough. How wild is this? It's good and bad, isn't it? How close do you want to live to a stadium? My house is close enough to the stadium where Guns N' Roses played last night, that close enough that I could hear the actual songs they were playing when I listened. And by song, when I listened in songs, I could hear them playing, I really mean the last song they played with. The last song they played, which was Take Me Down to a Paradise City Where the Grass is Green and the Girls Are Pretty. Take me home. Yeah, yeah. That's all I know from the concert last night. I was coming home and getting out of my car when the opening band... These are bands that peaked around 1990. Guns N' Roses and Alice in Chains. 1990 was 33 years ago. So if you're born in 1980, that would be like Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones peaked 10 years before that. Right? So that would have been in the rear view. But these two bands that played last night peaked 30. So if you're born in 1980, I don't know what's happening musically. In 1950, what's happening? Anyway, I did not go, but I heard Alice in Chains. I could tell one of their songs was Them Bones. Gonna end up a big old pile of them bones. I don't know anything about either band this day. Like, I don't know the original members. I don't know who's in it. Certainly not everyone is, at least on the Alice in Chains side, not everyone's alive. It doesn't matter, and you don't care, but I just want to let you know, I heard Paradise City last night, and then when it was over, the crowd went crazy. So and, you know, to Guns N' Roses' credit, they probably sound like they played for maybe 2.5 hours, 3 hours, something like that. Never knew them as like a hard-working live band. They were always overshadowed by the off-court bullshit of their enigmatic and narcissistic singer, Axl W. Rose. How was your weekend? Was it good? Did you do stand-up comedy like I did? Oh, you know what? Before I talk about stand-up comedy, I did. In life, I believe it's very important to put things on your calendar, to have things to look forward to, because it, no matter how challenging the near term, how stressful work is, no matter what is happening in your short-term life, if you know that something is coming up that will that you have to look forward to, I think it really helps getting through the near-term tumult. Don't you? Do you agree with that? I'm not the comic who's asking the crowd questions, but if you're in it and you're in the weeds and you're stressed, put a day off on your calendar if you can for a few weeks out, or a little mini vacation. Give yourself something to look forward to, and it should bolster you in your navigation and push through the challenging moments. I'm not having challenging moments. Not at all, bro. Not at all. Why would you think that? I'm not having... Who said... In trying to get my feet under me in San Diego comedy... I'm a San Diego comic now. I have a date on the books, and I'm thrilled about it. I am opening for Ian Bagg, the great Ian Bagg, who, in the all of the crowd work videos that get done, he is a crowd work master. It's almost, you've heard me talk about it when I open for him at the Punchline. He's a crowd work master, and all of us, I say us, myself included, we're putting on crowd work. Yeah, some of it was good, but it certainly was not good as Sir Ian Bagg. And he was like, oh, you know what? Here, why don't I chop up my special and put a bunch of clips up, and then we'll see, lo and behold, I have like 200,000 Instagram followers, and I imagine is now selling out every club every weekend, and is very, very well deserved. So anyway, I'm opening for Ian Bagg on the night before Christmas. Not the night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the crowd, someone was dating, and how, just for how long, how loud. Anyway, Escondido, California, which for those of you who don't know is like 30 minutes north of San Diego, the city of San Diego. Escondido at the Grand Comedy Club. I'm opening for Ian Bagg the night before Thanksgiving. There are two shows, a 7 and a 9. And you know the night before Thanksgiving is always a rip-roaring good time. For several reasons is it a great time. First of all, Thanksgiving is the best holiday of the year. It's tied for with 4th of July. It's tied with 4th of July. But Thanksgiving, everyone's going to be together, but you really don't have to do much. You don't have to, aside from spending money to get to where you want to be, you don't have to do a whole lot other than that. If you're cooking, you cook. If you're a guest, you bring wine. You bring a dessert. You bring a vegetable. Whatever it is. And by the way, I don't like green bean casserole, and I don't like the stereotype about white people because that says we love green bean casserole. But historically, my mom used to fucking serve green bean casserole, and I never liked it. So it's the best holiday, along with 4th of July. And so having that day where you just are among your closest people, your loved ones, and this is what I'm teeing you up for. If you live in San Diego or near Escondido, California, anywhere around it, the northern extremes of San Diego County, up to Fallbrook and Temecula, a lot of Trump boats up there. You'll be in Escondido that night. Come to the Grand Comedy Club, and Ian Bagg and I are going to burn it down. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to be there as somebody once said, I'm going to try not to mess it up. And I couldn't mess it up for Ian Bagg. He's going to destroy. Why is Thanksgiving the best holiday? Because you're among your closest. The people you want to be around. Maybe the winter holidays, there's more of an obligation to be with people. But it seems like on Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving, you go with the people you like. And you don't have to buy a bunch of gifts. There's not a lot of pressure, I don't think. There's maybe some hosting pressure for the person involved preparing the bird. I don't mind slicing the bird, you know that. But it's just the best. You eat, you drink, you nap. If you're so inclined, you watch a little football. You have a nice, relaxing Thursday. Invariably, unless you work for an asshole corporation, you're off on Friday, and you're off on Saturday and Sunday. So it's four terrific days. 4th of July is right up there with it. But you combine that great four-day weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with a comedy show the night before. Or not even the comedy show, just essentially the Wednesday of that week. It's a short work week. Everybody's in a good mood because even if you start work on Monday morning, you're not going to be chapped like this fucking place sucks. Even if you are, this place sucks. You know you're going to be out of there in 2 days
And if you have a non-asshole corporation in the United States of America, you probably get off middle of the day on Wednesday. So Wednesday becomes your Friday night, except Friday night lasts for 4 days. And a lot of times you go back to where you're from. You go see the matriarch, the patriarch, the juggling instructor arc, whoever it is. Maybe you're around people that you grew up with. Maybe you went away to college. I know the people who, some people listen. I know what I'm going to try and say here. I know there is a significant number of people who are in college who listen to this podcast. And I got to tell you, the being in college and going home for Thanksgiving and getting together with your friends the night before Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, is among the big moments of your life, because it's like, okay, this is what I've been talking about doing for the last 4 years of geometry. And now here, look what I did in my first semester. I made it. And by the way, for my college educated, but anyone who is listening to this who is in college or starting college, all you have to do is make it through that first semester. It's not all you have to do, but make it through the first semester. Come home. Come to me. I'll make you a plate of something. Catch your breath. Re-energize. Reflect. It's like me time. Make it through that first semester with your sanity intact, your grades. All you have to do that first semester is survive. And once you get that done, then you come back like, let's go spring semester, and you crush that, and all of a sudden you're 25% of the way to having a bachelor's degree. Okay? And note that when you come home on Thanksgiving, you're in the home stretch. You're going to go back to school, and you're going to fasten your chin strap, and you're going to bear down for the final 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it is, after Thanksgiving. It's not 5 weeks. That's insane. It's probably like 2.5 weeks. And then you're going to go home. You're going to get to be among people you went to high school with and see what's happened. It will seem like an eternity since you've seen these people. Or it seemed that way because when I went to college and I went home, there were no cell phones. And there was no Instagram. And Mark Zuckerberg had not trolled women at Harvard and thought, wow, this should be a scalable business. I can do this across the globe. Anyway, the night before Thanksgiving is just... it's a special, special, low-pressure, reunion-like event where you come together and look forward to a day where you don't have to do anything. And you know, we've hosted lots of Thanksgivings. We've gone to other people's places for Thanksgivings. The labor involved on Thanksgiving is not substantial. I'm going to say that, okay? I said it. It's not substantial. Labor in the kitchen, it's time-consuming, but it's not labor-intensive. You make the bird. What do you do? I have recipes. Go back and listen to them. You brine the turkey the night before. It's a lot of shit to do, but it's not labor-intensive. You brine the turkey. I'm not going to go into it. The other thing that happens on Thanksgiving Day, aren't you talking about a goddamn show in Escondido? I am. You have many hands on deck, or all hands on deck, to help with the cooking. The point of this is to come see Ian Bagg and me at the Grand Comedy, Grand Comedy Club in Escondido the night before Thanksgiving. It's important that I have that date out there. Like I said, when you might want to think about if you're going crazy and work is killing you, put a vacation on the books for 6 weeks out, something like that. Because I'm in the trenches here, trying to get my get my act together, but also get, you know, navigate this comedy scene that I'm just now dipping my toe in, and I'm doing it. I've been crying like a little baby about buckets, no stage time, the whole thing has gone to hell, no one comes out of the open mic scene, it's fucking miserable, but I have my own code where I want to be authentic, and I want to show that I'm working as hard and writing as much and committing to the grind of stand-up comedy as anybody else in San Diego, so I'm not sending tapes out, I'm just putting in the work. You know, I've been crying about that. Well, guess what? On Friday, I went out and I got up twice. They said it couldn't be done. I found two places that were both show up, go up. Non-comics, that's where you literally show up. Write your name on the list, and you'll be getting up. You might go first, you might go 25th, you might go 40th, but you're going to go up. Two places, two spots, both of them 3 minutes long, which is not a tremendous amount of time. But if you run the light on both of them, you can get close to 10 minutes. I didn't run the light on either one of them. The first show was in both places. Show, what's a ridiculous way to refer to these things. And one was in a club, by the way, a comedy club. So on Friday night, you heard from me on Thursday, and I was optimistic because I did that spot at that brewery, and it was a good time, and met some people. Friday night, I went out to the first spot, which started at 8 o'clock. And I also was talking about how the geography of San Diego is such that San Diego is massive, San Diego County. And if you look population-wise, if you include the whole county, it would be one of the biggest cities in the country. But it's so spread out that it's not. As a result of that, I guess people are just accustomed to driving 30, 35 minutes to do whatever they have to do. Go to the beach, go to Tijuana, go to Indian casinos, whatever it is. That's what they're called, Indian casinos. So I think a lot of people are accustomed to driving around to do stand-up comedy, do open mics. But thus far, I have not driven that far. Maybe I just live too close to freeways and stadiums. Knock, knock, knock. I said the only Guns N' Roses song I heard was Paradise City. I also heard Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door, a cover. They played a goddamn cover song. Should have just played Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, and that would have taken 5 hours of the show. But on Friday night, the mics that I went to were not in the city. They were out of the city, but they weren't that far out of the city. So my ways, it was like 12 minutes to the first mic. I got there. I talked to the host who I said I messaged earlier, and someone said, yeah, come on up. And I got up. I did my first joke I did. And there were civilians there. I don't know what you would call it. It was like, it was in a strip mall. They call it a brewery. I feel like, I mean, if that's what it is, that's what it is. It seems like everything's a brewery in San Diego. Candidly, it seems like everyone says the R word. Only white people say the N word, and everything's a brewery. But I got up, which was great, and there were some civilians there. I did the first joke I did was a joke I knew would work. It worked, and then I started working on new stuff. And then I closed with a joke that usually, because I'm thinking, again, I'm trying to make a good impression here. Go to another town, just kill. Don't fuck around, don't work out. Just kill. Let everybody know right away. You're good and funny. But this, quote, brewery had a vibe of, like, nobody here is much of an influencer. And that might be a trap. Like, you should just always kill when you go to new town. I don't know. But the fact that the first joke worked gave me license to start working on this new stuff that I'm kind of excited about and excited about doing. Not just excited about, like, I like the material, but I'm excited about doing it. I'm excited about being in a new place where, for all the shit that I talk about, the challenge of going to mics and trying to work my way through the scene and figure out what's what, there's something very liberating about nobody knowing me, and I can just stand there and talk, and there's no expectation. There's no, Joe's going to say this, Joe's going to say that, this is what this joke is like, or is this, and, or I, you know, everybody in the room is a friend of mine, or regulars. There's just nothing. There's zero, you know what it is? It's zero, it's the freedom of zero expectation, which is so freeing. It's the freest place, I guess, you could probably be. And really what I want to do is I want to get to this place in San Diego where people know I'm funny and I'm connected at the clubs, and if there are, God knows, any independent bookers out there, I'm in their rotation on their shows. But I'm out of town, I'm going and doing shows out of town more than not. So what I envision, what I would love in San Diego is for people to know I'm funny, but also just get to a place of pure bombing. I would just love to bomb with, like, air in my lungs. Not a, like, high stakes bomb, just go bomb at a mic for 5 minutes. Not do a paid show and bomb for 10 minutes, but, you know, in Atlanta, the last shows that I was doing all the time, Limerick and Laughing Skull, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday, I had an obligation to get the shows off to a decent start, which doesn't mean that I wasn't, you know, bombing. My hosting abilities or show running abilities were perfect. I had an obligation to get those shows off to a good start. I have no pressure here. So just the idea of, like, I think this dumb shit, or I think this thing, and I can put it in joke format, and I can tell it. And if it bombs, it bombs, and who fucking cares? Because that's what an open mic is for. Just bomb, dude. I look forward to doing that with the understanding from the San Diego comedy scene that I am funny. So anyway, sorry. Anyway, it's now late-ish Monday night when I'm recording this, so that's when my voice is shot. I went out and did a spot tonight. I came home, my wife's like, how was it? I said, it was dreadful. But I got up. It wasn't like dreadful, like I waited 2 hours and watched them pull a bucket the whole night and didn't get up. It wasn't like that very first time I went up in San Diego and waited 2 hours and whatever it was, 20, 40 minutes, and then got lighted 10 seconds into my spot. Tonight was just dreadful because it should be. It's a Monday night open mic. This isn't Atlanta, dude. This isn't Star Bar, where you have a red-hot, rip-roaring show on a Monday night that is free and an open mic. Get the fuck out of here. So I'm going to circle back to tonight. On Friday night, the first joke worked. And then I dug into a couple other new bits and got mileage out of them. And then closed with a bit that you know, like I said, I want to make a good impression on the first joke, make a great impression on the closer. And the stuff in the middle worked better than I probably even knew it would or thought it would. And then I did a joke that I thought would really work, and it fucking bombed. And I couldn't tell you why. Doesn't matter. I'm not dwelling. I'm, like I've told you before, a comic told me once, you know, you can think about your bombs and use the signal of the bomb to adjust your approach. And this is not fucking interesting. I get it. This podcast should be more funny. And instead of just me navel-gazing about my journey into San Diego comedy, it really should be more funny. If it were more funny, if I were truly getting my act together on this podcast, you would come see me. You would follow me. I'd have 10 billion followers on Instagram. I'm having a moment of reflection right now. What is the ask? The ask of you, the audience, my dear listener, is to care about what I'm doing, and you do, and I'm grateful for that. They're not always funny. Especially when you're telling stories about bombing at these terrible open mics. Friday night, I did that one brewery mic. Civilians were there talking. You know, it was people were talking. Dogs were barking. Dogs were barking during my set. And that's an open mic. They almost should be. Dogs are barking. And then we went to the next place, which is the open mic, the Friday night, quote, late night open mic at a comedy club called Mic Drop Comedy, which is a cool club. The open mic part of it is in a separate room in the back that's sealed off from the main the main room where the funny people are. The open mic is in the back room, and it's a bucket, but the way the bucket works at this one is you actually get the names are all called out. It's not the fucking most efficient thing, to be honest with you, because the mic, you get there 30 minutes before it starts or something like that. Everybody writes their name on a ticket, throws it into the bucket. And then there's a whole ticket drawing sequence that takes place where the host, who was a very funny dude, actually, I say actually because not every host is funny, pulls out all the tickets one at a time and thus reveals the order, as opposed to just sitting back there, pulling them out, writing them down. It's a bit of a show. Anyway, I got on 25th. Everybody gets 3 minutes. So I was like, all right, what is that going to be, an hour and 15, 20 minutes? I'm not doing the math perfectly. And I stayed, and I had a great time. And what you're hearing me confirm for you is I'm making my way in here, while also I have this parallel train track running in my head, thinking this podcast should be so much funnier, so much more funny than what you're hearing right now. So I'm out. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm petulantly trying to get out. You should be able to stop recording when you really want to make a point. And I'm going to make a point to go to bed and wake up and give you a better podcast on Thursday. I did go to an open mic tonight in Barrio Logan on Monday night. And like I said, I told my wife it was dreadful. Everything about it was terrible. But I got to do 5 minutes. I got to do 5 minutes because I bought half of a beer. You can pay more. You can do 3 minutes, or you can get a drink and get an additional 2 minutes, which I did by buying half of a beer, which then I drank 40% of. Anyway, it's a you know what you're experiencing right now? A crisis of confidence. That's really, anytime I experience one of those in my life, it's just about solely because I need to get more rest. I need to sleep more. So that's what I'm going to go do. And I'm going to wake with my daughter, be downstairs before anyone, put coffee on for my wife. Let's go tomorrow night. I'm going to try to get on to the Comedy Store. I'm going to try to get on at the, I'm not going to go to the fucking freezing bucket place. But have a great week, and I'll talk to you on Friday.
Hey, it's me again. It's the next day. That's right. It's Tuesday morning, October 3rd. And we are at the breakfast table addendum to the podcast from last night that I was recording as I was falling asleep, and I was having a crisis of confidence that it wasn't funny. What a child. The situation now is I'm enjoying a delicious espresso in my kitchen at the breakfast table while wife, woman, and girl, child girl, are upstairs getting dressed for school. And then I'm going to ride in, lift. Here's how it's going to go. They will. Why am I adding this on? Because I want to tell you some how some people would approach an open mic like the one I went to last night that I said was dreadful. and was. But in getting to that and setting the context for what's going to happen now here while I sit at the breakfast table and enjoy Mike Ness working his way through the social distortion recording Bakersfield. They are upstairs. We've had breakfast and coffee. They are upstairs. My wife will be getting the child ready to be taken to school. And inevitably, the final stage of their preparation, the final stage of their preparation, as I've mentioned before, is what we call hair and makeup, where my wife does my daughter's hair and slathers the poor Irish lass's, poor skin, poor pale skin with sunscreen. And going back to that word, invariably, what invariably is going to happen over the next 15 minutes, especially during the hair and makeup phase of the process, the preparation, is they're going to come to blows. It happens every morning, it seems, where the trains are rolling just fine, but there's a bit of a breakdown in the final movement where somehow they get into it during hair and makeup. And what usually happens is my daughter digs in and is tired of people rubbing her, pushing cream into her face and on her arms and in her ears, and is starting to get wiggly and move around. And my wife is probably increasingly getting frustrated because the clock is ticking and they have to get to school by a certain time. And I'm downstairs making fun of that. That's the least of anyone's concerns. I'm astute. I'm an expert here. If I went up there right now and tried to move the process along, I'd just be fucking it up. And they'd both be looking at me like, dude, this is our war. This is our struggle. You stay the fuck out of it. So I do. But what will happen is my daughter will now, in 10 minutes or so, come slinking downstairs with a sour face because mom's being mean to me. And then she will come to me to lean on me. There are times, don't be too proud to lean on people. Ask for help. So she'll say, I need to lean on you, or I need a hug. And then I lift her up, and then she takes her face, which looks like kabuki makeup, and buries it in my shoulder and whatever clothes that I'm wearing, leaving them embedded with sunscreen. So that's the slate. That's the context, the scene. That's, I'm setting the scene here. That's happening up above me. I thought it would be just, I forgot all about it actually last night when I was recording. Did I get a full night's sleep? Am I back? Am I optimistic? Am I positive? I'm positive optimistic, but I did not get a great night's sleep. Why? Because I went to bed at, 12 and I got up at 6:15 or whatever. That's not enough sleep for a growing boy. But I do have energy. You can hear probably a different cadence to the one that you got last night in the podcast. But I forgot what happened I forgot about the comic who went right before me last night at the mic. And everyone approaches stand-up comics, everyone approaches life differently. Including me. Even I do, goddammit. I hold myself up as a paragon of how to do it. Everybody approaches an open mic, especially a garbage open mic like the one I went to last night in Barrio Logan. Everyone approaches it differently. I had written these jokes. I had gotten out of the house. I had gone down, parked, walked. And I don't care if there are four people listening, which there weren't, or a sound system that wasn't comprehensive in its coverage. I don't care. I'm gonna say these jokes to the one fucking person that I catch looking at me. And I think it was another comic. And I did that. I wrote them. I bought a beer so I could have two extra minutes. I told you, I got shit to do. I gotta go here. I can't wait forever for my big break. My big break. There's no such thing. I mean, there's such things as big breaks. But you gotta be in it to win it, and I gotta go. I'm also, as I've told you before, I'm not 22 down there just to be part of the scene and friends and play thumb bum with other people, which is you stand around with your thumb in your ass and tell it how it is and you tell it how it might be. I just want to say this, and was it worth adding this to the recording? I don't know. But the comic before me, he said, huh. He looked around and realized it was a garbage mic. And he said, should I tell jokes? I don't know, man. What Andrew Stanley? Yeah, Andrew Stanley, who probably would never go to this shit, Mike. But Andrew Stanley, who's a pro's pro, would stand there and tell his jokes and work on his material and then leave the rest of everybody else to play thumb bum and talk about what it might be like. And Andrew's like, I'm there. Shout out to Andrew Stanley, one of my favorite people. Also, I'm not a golf person, but if you are, check out St. Andre Golf on Instagram and YouTube, I guess. Aaron Chuning hit a home run with it, which is so awesome. Atlanta's Aaron Chuning, who's put me in projects of his. It's really funny, and I think it's very, very funny if you're a golfer. Especially if you're a golfer, which I'm not. I get some of it, but people... Anyway, Andrew Stanley, I think of people who do mics. Do mics the right way. Meaning, Andrew Stanley comes to mind. Wellington Juku would have shown up last night. He would have said, oh, oh, and made fun of the room for 5 seconds, and then did his jokes. And then Wellington Juku, who's closed Limerick a number of times, this year, I didn't even tell you, was a new face at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal, Wellington Ojukwu. He would have gone to that mic last night and done his jokes. Andrew Stanley would have just told his jokes. Zachary Wright would have just told his jokes. These are the first three people that come to mind as being, as approaching open mics the way I think you should. They're about you. They're not about the crowd. You're there to work on your material. So do that. And that's what they do. I've never seen Zachary Wright ever bail on a set. I have never seen Andrew Stanley bail on a set or Wellington Ojukwu bail on a set. Now, it's fun. I know lots of people do bail on sets and make it entertaining for the comics, but it's that. It's just what it is. I was down there to tell jokes to the one poor bastard who happened to make eye contact with me. But the guy before me said, he looked around like, so should I tell some jokes? And there weren't enough people listening to respond to him. Hear me? I nodded my head, thinking, yeah, dude, this is why we do this grueling part of the endeavor. I've seen a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean? I know what can be out there. I've tasted it. I've drank from the sweet nectar of good comedy shows. I've opened for people in theaters. Like, I know what it can be like. It may be very hard to conceptualize what it can be like when you're down in that grueling shit spot. You find yourself saying, should I tell some jokes? And the answer is yes, you should. Andrew Stanley would, Wellington Ojukwu would, Zachary Wright would. Nobody was there to answer this poor guy except me nodding my head like, heck, man, come on, let's do the thing. And he didn't. What he did is he somehow started talking about gay. Clearly it was not telling jokes. I don't know how he got to it. The premise was white guys suck dick. That's what he said. Something like that. White guys suck dick. And if this is language and imagery that you're unaccustomed to, dear listener, I'm just a messenger here. I don't talk like that. But that's all he said. Somehow he established a meter to it, a bit of a rhyme. White guys suck dick. White guys suck dick. Everybody knows white guys. And it got everybody to pay attention. It got everybody to clap their hands. Got everybody to endorse the statement, white guys suck dick. And he did that for like 2 minutes. And then he got off the stage. And I went next. I was going to say, in a different universe, you'd say, and I had to follow that. Like, I'm not worried about following that. But then everybody went back to what they were doing. Nobody paid attention to my set. But that's how he chose to use his gas money, his time, he doesn't know it probably because he's a young person. That's his most precious resource, his time and attention. And the minutes afforded him to work on his craft. I'm just describing. I'm not judging. I promise you. This is solely descriptive, nothing evaluative. But that's how that man chose to use his time, is to say, should I tell jokes? And then something about sucking dick, and everybody knows white guys suck dick, white guys suck dick. Chanted that, had the crowd clapping along for a minute and a half of doing that, and said, okay, thank you very much. And if you're a comic, you're like, yeah, I've probably seen that a million times, people just doing shit like that. But dear listener, if you are pursuing perfection in some line of inquiry in your life, some vocation, some hobby, some passion, whatever it is, imagine, let's say you want to be like Sharapova. You want to be one of the great tennis players of all time, or certainly of your era. And imagine you have 45 minutes at the court to go hit serves. And instead of working on your second serve for 45 minutes, throwing balls repeatedly up into the air, sweating in the early Florida sun, you just stand there and repeat over and over, white guys suck dick, and then you go grab your towel and your bag and you're off. You probably would not become a very good tennis player. I'd forgotten about that guy's set last night when I was recording. So, was it worth memorializing this morning? I don't know. But you know what's going to happen pretty soon is, I'm not going to talk until it happens because I don't want to make fun of it. Pretty soon my daughter's going to come down and need a hug and get sunscreen on my clothes. So I hope you have a great day. For those of you who have already listened to the podcast, I guess you missed this part. But I appreciate you listening. And have a great week. And do what you will with your time. All right. Also, I've never, done the activity the man said that all white men do. So I promise. All right. Have a great week. I'll talk to you on Friday. 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 We'll get down. It'll be big.